Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Newsworthy day in Berea. Nathan Zagura alongside Matt Wilhelm with you. Obviously, reports everywhere that Kyle Shanahan and Dowell Loggins will not be back with the Browns. The offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach will be moving on. No indication to believe that these reports are false at this time. The team has not officially confirmed them. But again, no indication to believe they are false. Kyle Shanahan will not be the offensive coordinator next year. Dowell Loggins will not be the quarterback's coach of the Cleveland Browns. So this means the Browns, again, new offensive coordinator in 2015. Interesting timing, interesting series of moves. We know Kyle Shanahan will be meeting with the Buffalo Bills to discuss their head coaching vacancy today. Vic Carucci, former founder of Cleveland Browns Daily and my former co-host, will be with us at 2 o'clock. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns, will be with us at 1:15 as well to talk about today's events. And obviously, it is a newsworthy day. The Browns and parting ways, as for all intents and purposes, all reports with both Kyle Shanahan and Dowell Loggins. So the question is, you know, how do you feel about this out there in the dog pound? If Kyle Shanahan didn't want to be here, do you want him to be here? You know, I thought he had done a good job with the Browns. Now, you could make the case, statistically speaking, that over the second half of the season, the offense sputtered tremendously and defenses may have caught up to what he did. But overall, I thought it was a positive season for Kyle Shanahan and this offense. And now the Browns will be looking to upgrade, because that's what you want to do. You always want to upgrade in the National Football League. And with Kyle Shanahan and not here, they're going to have to look to upgrade at offensive coordinator, Matt.
You know, it's tough, Nathan, and I think that I know in your case, as we spoke yesterday, both about the quarterbacks on Tuesday and the running backs yesterday, it's the worst nightmare for this football team, and I think it's the worst nightmare for this fan base, because I feel that they've been let down again by the, you know, the crisis that is the Cleveland Browns organization. It seems like there's a revolving door in players. There's a revolving door when it comes to the coaches and management. And just as we were, not being sold, but buying into the culture change that we get to see each and every day throughout the season in Berea, when it comes to management, when it comes to the coaches, the winning culture that has changed, the accountability that the coaches now have with the players, we lose a significant asset in Kyle Shanahan to another job, most likely, and a quarterback coach who, in some cases, was linked to Johnny Manziel because of the text message of, let's wreck this league, what are you waiting for, draft me. They were sold on this guy. And they're now gone, and whoever we get is going to, of course, do diligence to this job and embrace the challenge that it is to be a coach with the Cleveland Browns. But more so than anything, they're going to bring in a new system. And I think in some cases, this team will be set back by having to adjust to whoever it is, unless they go out and get a Mike Shanahan, a Gary Kubiak, a Kyle Shanahan disciple.
I don't know that's necessarily going to be set back. I think that you look at it, and just from a statistical standpoint, obviously the Browns, 23rd in the NFL in total offense, 324 yards per game. They were 27th in the NFL in scoring at 18.7 per game. They started off very hot. They finished, obviously, not as hot with the offensive side of the football. I do think developmentally, you know, you want to have that continuity. You certainly do. I think that now it gives the team, you know, the interesting thing about it is when Kyle Shanahan came here, I was very excited about it, and I know that he had come out of what had been, you know, a very toxic situation in Washington, and the Browns gave him, you know, this opportunity. What I'm disappointed about is that you get the sense that Kyle Shanahan didn't want to see this opportunity all the way through. And I don't know if that's, you know, his commentary on Johnny, what it is, what the case may be. I do think it's disappointing, though. But for the Browns now, it's you know, as you said, it is, you know, the carousel spins. Another offensive coordinator will come in here. And now it's just a matter of finding the guy. I think there are good pieces in place with this offense. The offensive line, we know, is very, very strong when you're going to have, you know, getting Alex Mack back. You've got Joe Thomas. You've got Petonio. I think you've got some good young backs, as we talked about yesterday. There's an opportunity to address wide receiver, I think, in both free agency and in the NFL draft this year. It's a position with a lot of depth. But I think there are reasons to be optimistic about this offense. But, again, the Browns are going to go out now, and they're going to conduct an exhaustive search. They're going to try to find the right guy for this offense. And I don't know what happened between the end of the year when it was pretty much assured that Kyle Shanahan would be here, and now where Kyle Shanahan is no longer here. But I think for the Browns, if there was some type of dysfunction, and I think that's the thing that upsets you, right, is that there were the leaks about it, and does that come from Kyle's camp? I don't know. The leaks about, you know, what was going on, et cetera, you know, texting, whatever it was, the dysfunction between that part of it. As I said yesterday, and I was specific in my comments, Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer from the top of the coaching tree and the top of the personnel side certainly are in lockstep. They are working together. That's what this whole work week is about. In fact, coming back saying, here's what we did right, here's what we didn't do right, let's fix it. So I know that that is what they are working on. I didn't know what was going to happen with Kyle yesterday, and obviously today it seems the other shoe has dropped. And you know, I'm curious to get people's takes on it because it was an offense that I thought for a while looked very, very good, and it was an offense at times that I didn't think looked very good, and sometimes the play calling we thought got predictable. The offense changed significantly when Johnny Manziel came in, and that did not, you know, there was very little success there. It's interesting, Matt. This is not a day that I expected to have on the show. We were going to be reviewing wide receivers.
Absolutely. And Nathan, just to clarify where I was kind of coming from with a setback, I don't necessarily, because I think we have a lot of the right pieces in place and the right players in place and the right leaders in Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer, as they'll continue to add, if we're going to, you know, talk offense to the offensive side of the ball. What I meant was, you know, the setbacks that we're going to have to take on are, you know, it's overcoming the new term. It'll be a new series of terminology. It'll be a new system that they'll have to practice all offseason. The other offensive coaches that were retained will have to grow, you know, underneath the new offensive coordinator. I think that the team itself throughout, you know, mini camps and OTAs, training camp next year, will be growing in this new system and still learning and adjusting to this new system as much as they'll learn about the offensive coordinator and what he likes. The offensive coordinator then has to learn about these guys and what they do on the football field. And then also, too, is as opposed to growing in year two of Kyle Shanahan's system on the football field when it comes to Sundays in September and moving forward into the season, we now have to, you know, bank on transferring what we've done in practice into a football game. And I just think, as even as we saw this year with the new system on defense and the new system on offense, there were some early season struggles that I thought if Kyle Shanahan was retained or stayed as the offensive coordinator, we wouldn't have to address. We would walk right into with a better foot forward than we did last season, and we might have lost some of those early football games trying to figure things out. And I think we're back in that same circumstance.
Yeah, you played in the league, and I don't know what kind of turnover you had or experience with defensive coordinators, but how important is it? Is it more important on the offensive side in your experience than the defensive side? But what kind of, from a player's perspective, what does this mean? Because I would imagine, you know, you've heard veterans Joe Thomas say he just wants continuity here. Again, a lack of continuity coming now on the offensive side of things. And as I said earlier today, I thought Kyle Shanahan, at least in the first half of the season, schemed like a genius and was scheming guys wide open with a lack of skill position talent. How hard is it for the players to learn again and to go through, and what does it really mean from a player standpoint?
Well, first and foremost, you got to figure, you know, how much hot air was blown about Kyle Shanahan and his long-term analogy, that by the time the season got here and Johnny Manziel and Brian Hoyer were communicating the way Kyle Shanahan would have wanted, but guys, you know, learning that new terminology, well, that's going to be scrapped. They're going to have to get that out of their head very quickly, and they're going to have to learn the new terminology of whoever happens to come in. And just to make your reference, I do believe it's an easier transition for a defensive coordinator because defense is such a reactive, or in some cases attacking, you know, style of play on the defensive side of the ball, whereas offense is, you know, there's just so many more intricacies to the offense of, you know, the wide receivers, the tight ends, the running backs, the fullbacks, the offensive line. There's blocking schemes, you know, the quarterback and his reads, all those things, you know, really need to be in line for them to function like a well-oiled machine, you know, hopefully by the time the season gets here. So there is work to be done by everybody involved. And I think also, too, you know, there is question about some of the personnel. You know, Josh Gordon, as the season went on and finally got back, we were so excited about that. And, you know, not running the right routes, you know, in his comeback, also too, being a little lackadaisical or lazy at times. Johnny Manziel and the way in which he grasped the offense and when he got an opportunity, did they in fact dummy things down for him and give him just a snippet of that Kyle Shanahan offense? You know, he would have wanted to transfer all that information into year two as a part of that growth that we always talk about that we want to see out of Johnny Manziel, both, you know, on the field and off the field. Well, you lose all that. You hope he takes the step to become a pro in regards to studying, but now what does he have to study? He has to study at this case until we hire an offensive coordinator, the little bit of tape that he has on himself. And as we heard yesterday from Ernest Biner, you know, maybe you study other guys like you or with a similar skill set like you in the National Football League so that you can take that step of being a better National Football League quarterback. But then he must grow into the new system when, in fact, we do go through that search of finding the right man to lead this offense.
Absolutely. Let's go to the phone lines because we do want to get your reaction to today's news. Charlie in Sheridan, Wyoming, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Longtime Browns fan. I go back so far with the Browns. I remember when they fired Paul Brown. So I've seen a few changes in the Browns organization since then. I hope Ray Farmer or somebody from Ray Farmer's office is listening to this show today because I got an idea that I think he might just be interested in. It's a kind of a think out of the box deal. When you're looking for O coordinators right now, there's a guy over in Pittsburgh, and I gave my wife the look when I heard that he was hired as offensive line coach over there. Mike Munchak, he used to be the head coach in Tennessee.
Sure.
This guy, you want to talk about somebody that Alex Mack and Joe Thomas would be thrilled to get into Cleveland. You offer him the offensive coordinator job, he might salt it up with a few extra bucks, assistant head coach or whatever. You get him over there. It takes him out of Pittsburgh. That's a great move forward because I'll tell you, you look at what that Pittsburgh line did and what their offense did this year. They did quite a bit. Mike Munchak's an old pro. He could even maybe get Jake Locker here as quarterback. I think Tennessee's going to move on from him, and Jake's got a lot of talent. But Mike Munchak is the kind of guy, though, that I think would make a transition, especially for the offensive line, a lot easier. And I hope Ray will pursue that because he's a great guy. He's a good coach. The reason he got canned out of Tennessee is because they started dictating to him who his coordinators and coaches are going to be. And he says, I can't do that. And they said, well, it's them or you. And he said, I'm out of here. He's a great guy, and it would be a great hire. And who knows? He might even talk his old line buddy, Bruce Matthews, out of retirement and be the offensive line coach. You never know.
You never know. Appreciate that call very much. And I know that the Browns, again, will leave no stone unturned trying to find the right offensive coordinator for this team. Let's go now to our guy, Chevy in New Jersey, before we go to the voice of the Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan, in the next segment.
Guys, I really like your comment that now's a chance for an upgrade. I mean, you know, it's sorry that he left, but if he was not totally committed to this team, then so be it. I think we have a heck of a chance to upgrade in the draft and free agency and bring in, like you say, at least an equal coordinator. We could get Denzel Perryman, inside linebacker, La'el Collins, offensive guard or tackle, Devontae Parker, wide receiver.
Yep.
I mean, these are players that could turn this team into a crazy good team if we got to go with Johnny at quarterback, too. So that's all I got, guys. Thanks for the great show.
You got it, Chevy. Thank you very much. And, you know, you make a great point. You know, some of the names, you know, very early that have been linked to possibilities here in Cleveland are Charlie Weiss, former offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots, has spent time, of course, in college as well with the Kansas as a head coach of the Kansas Jayhawks. Mark Trestman, most recently the head football coach of the Chicago Bears, recently fired there as they overhauled their staff. But Nathan, you know, the one great point, you know, that I think we talked about it yesterday in regards to Kyle Shanahan with him staying here was, if in fact it may not be the right year for him to potentially make that jump to be a head football coach, we felt, or I felt rather, that this would be a great job because of the talent accumulated on this roster. If you shore up that quarterback position, about keeping his name relevant, growing with this organization as we continue to take those culture change, win more football games, be very competitive in the AFC North, and stay on that radar, that keeps his name relevant. But as again, you talk about Weiss, you talk about Trestman, two guys who have played significant roles on great organizations here in the National Football League, may be in an opportunity to take a step back, you know, come to Cleveland, be a part of rebuilding it, you know, here. And then also, too, in 2, 3, maybe 4 years, their time or their name will be back and relevant for another head coaching job if, in fact, that's something they would like to do.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting for Kyle to want to leave now. It's a little bit, you know, you wonder – he obviously people think highly of him, and if you look at the first half of the season, I think there's a – you saw – pretty darn good play for him. I'd say really through the Cincinnati game. That was where the offense was clicking. You know, 27 points against Pittsburgh, 26 against New Orleans, 21 against Baltimore, 29 Tennessee, 31 Pittsburgh, 6 at Jacksonville, but then 23, 22, 24. And then after that, you didn't really score very much after that. You scored 7, 26, 10, 24, 0, 13, and 10. So the offense clearly was a tale of two seasons, no question for this team. But now you have a guy in Kyle Shanahan who had a rough stint, to say the least, with RG3 at the end, and now a little bit of a rough stint with Johnny Manziel, and he is out of here as the offensive coordinator for the Browns. So it'll be interesting to see what his next move is. But, again, it's not like I liked Kyle, and I said it yesterday, and everybody knows that I would have liked to have seen that continuity. But it's not like we're losing a coordinator who guided this team to a top-10 finish in offense, as I said.
Correct.
You know, 23rd in yards per game, 27th in points per game. So there is room for improvement on this offensive side of the ball. There's no question about that. They're going to have an opportunity to address that with talent, I think, first and foremost, in free agency and the draft, and an opportunity to address that now with a coordinator who can hopefully maximize the talent that you have. When we come back, the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, will join us right after this on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Yeah, girl, been digging on you, sipping on drink number two.